أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أفضل أعمال أمتي انتظار فرج الله عز وجل. صلوات. The Holy Prophet has said in this hadith that the most superior of all the actions of my nation is awaiting for the faraj of Allah. So we understand that becoming a muntazir for the Imam of our time and his walayat, and for the sake of the supremacy of his walayat, is actually awaiting for the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet has said, intizaru farajillah. So the law of Allah and the kalimatullah, which is always superior, has to be installed, and that installation is going to take place upon the zuhur of the 12th Imam. So the humanity in the time of the ghaibat is basically divided into two. A human is either a muntazir or a ghafil. Period. And the success, according to the tradition of our Prophet, is for those who are having the intizar, which is in the light of the ma'rifat. Because he has already said, narrated by both the sources, that مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. Whoever dies without having the ma'rifat, in-depth recognition of the Imam of his time, dies the death of Jahiliyyat. And Jahiliyyat has been interpreted by our ulama as the death of kufr and shirk and lalal, means misguidance, gumrahi, and dhulmat, darkness. So on one hand, we find its intidhar, the concept of intidhar, which is based on the ma'rifat of the Imam. On the other hand, it's a person is ghafilun jahili, belonging to the era of jahiliyat, which is nothing but kufr and shirk and dalal and ghulmat. So it has been the advice as it is narrated in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 132, that the Holy Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam had advice to their children not to die except in the state of Islam. And the ayat of the Quran says, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمْ الدِّينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Prophet Ibrahim has advised to his children, and likewise Yaqub alayhi salam advised his children, in other words, that Ya Bunayya, إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين, Allah has chosen for you the religion, so don't die except in the state of Islam. And in another verse from Surah Ali Imran 102, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah, the fear of Allah, as he should be feared, حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون, and don't die except in the state of Islam. So death is the summarized end result of the entire human life. So when the death of a person belongs to jahiliyat, which is already, like I explained to you earlier, jahiliyat means kufr and shirk and dalal, gumrahi, and zulmat, darkness. So if the death of a person is categorized to be the death of kufr and shirk and dalal and zulmat, and death is the summarized end result and natija of the entire human life, so we can obviously understand the entire life of the person was the Hayatun Jahiliyyah. His whole life was actually a life of Jahiliyyah. That's the reason why he ended up in a death of Jahiliyyah. Because Innal Mawta Ala Waznil Hayat. That's how our Urafa say that the death is always on the same pattern of your life. Innal Mawta Ala Waznil Hayat. فَكَمَا تَعِيشُونَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُبْعَثُونَ. So you're going to die exactly the way you used to live. You want to know how will be your death? Look at your lifestyle. The way your lifestyle is, that's exactly the format of your death at the time of death. And if you want to know how would you be resurrected in the day of judgment, in Yawm al-Hashr, in what zumrah, in what category, in what group will be resurrected, with which imam, because every group is going to be resurrected with his or her political leader, an imam. So we want to know how would be our state at the time on the day of resurrection, then we just have to look the way we died. So we will be resurrected exactly in the same pattern, the way we died away from this world, and we will die exactly in the same pattern the way we used to live. Because death is on the wizan of hayat, and hashr is on the wizan of death. So all these three stages are on the same pattern. On the day of resurrection, our state, and at the time of death, our state, and during the lifetime, our state. All these three patterns are exactly similar. So when we are saying in the light of the hadith of the Holy Prophet that whoever doesn't have the ma'rifat and shanakht, like in Farsi we say shanakht, in Urdu we say pehchan, the ma'rifat, the in-depth recognition of the Imam, if we don't have the in-depth recognition of the Imam of our time, we die as the death of Jahiliyyat, because we used to live a life of Jahiliyyat. This is a very important point that we need to understand. It really doesn't matter if a person is praying or fasting, doing Hajj, giving Khums, Zakat, Fitrah, whatever. People used to pray even behind Rasulullah. Today we are praying alone or in Jamaat. And back then there were some people praying behind Rasulullah, but still living a life, a hayat of Jahiliyyat and dying a death of Jahiliyyat. Isn't that right? When we find in the khutbah of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha in the darbar of Tahut, Hazrat Zahra says in her khutbah, "Afa hukm al jahiliyyat tabghun?" Are you seeking the hukm of Jahiliyyat? In other words, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. And who is the best, who is better than Allah in terms of hukm for those who have yaqeen and certitude? أَفَلَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Don't you know? بَلَا قَدْ تَجَلَّ لَكُمْ كَالشَّمْسِ الضَّاحِيَةِ. Certainly it is clear for you like a broad daylight, like a clear sun. أَنِّي إِبْنَتُهُ. That I am certainly his daughter. So she had been denied her right of Fadak and her haq from the Tahut, and she is, so those people who were denying the right of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha were actually following the path of Jahiliyyat. So that's the reason why she is addressing them by saying afa hukmal jahiliyyat tabghun, despite the fact that they have been praying behind Rasulullah. Isn't it right? So it really doesn't matter. A person may be praying behind Rasulullah, praying and fasting and going for Hajj and all those things, but he may still be living a life, a hayat of Jahiliyyat, and will die the death of Jahiliyyat, because prayers is not the sign of your ma'rifat. Because fasting and Hajj is not the sign and alamat of your ma'rifat. Which a lot of people today consider your prayers and fasting is the sign of our shanakht and ma'rifat of the Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. If this is the sign, then whole bunch of the enemies and a'da of Ahlul Bayt were also praying, and actually Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas were the Imam al-Jum'ah throughout the time of the Umayyad and Abbasid rule. You find they themselves have been leading the Jum'ah prayers, and they never allowed the Ahlul Bayt to lead the Jum'ah prayers. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was never allowed by Mansur Dawaniti or all the rest of the rulers in his time to lead the Jum'ah prayers, not even once. Isn't that right? So they themselves were the Imam al-Jum'ah. When Mamun Rashid demanded from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam to lead the Salatul Eid, and then somebody advised him that if you allow him, this is going to topple your government. So he himself went and led the prayers of Eid. Isn't that right? So throughout the history, we have been witnessing that Salatul Jum'ah and Salatul Eid have been led by the Zalimeen. So basically, this is not considered to be the sign of the ma'rifat of the Imam. So because their hayat was jahili, hayatun jahiliyyah, that's why their mort and death was also the death of jahiliyyat. So now, why is the Imam of our time in the ghaibat? This is a question which arises in the mind of almost all those people who think. It's good to think in Islam. It's emphasized that we do tafakkur in the umurullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is sawab. If you do tafakkur fi amrillah qurbatan ilallah, this is an ibadat. So now the hadith from Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam says that إِذَا فُقِدَ الْخَامِسْ مِنْ وُلْدِ السَّابِعِ فَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي أَدْيَانِكُمْ. When the fifth from the children of seventh, That means when the fifth son from the children of the seventh Imam is missing, then remember Allah. Remember Allah about your religion. إِذَا فُقِدَ الْخَامِسِ Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the fifth son of the seventh Imam. إِذَا فُقِدَ الْخَامِسِ مِنْ وُلْدِ السَّابِعِ فَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي أَدْيَانِكُمْ وَلَا لَا يُزِيلَنَّكُمْ أَحَدٌ عَنْهَا No one should be keeping you away, taking you away from the religion. إِنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ In other words, إِنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ لَا بُدَّ لِصَاحِبِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ مِنْ غَيْبَةٍ حَتَّى يَرْجِعْ عَنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ مَنْ كَانَ يَقُولُ بِهِ إِنَّمَا هِيَ مِحْنَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ امْتَحَنَ بِهَا خَلْقَهُ So Imam alayhi salam, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam says that this is for Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, for Sahib Hadha al-Amr, he must have a ghaibat so that all those, so that those who used to, in other words, those who falsely used to claim that we are his followers are separated from the true followers. False claimants and the true followers, the lines get separated. This is going to happen and it should happen. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the time of ghaibat so that the false claimants that we obey and follow the Imam and the real followers get separated and distinguished before the Imam appears. Hatta yarji an hadhal amr man kana yakulu bihi. And then Imam says, innama hiya mihnatun. This is a test from Allah. Imtahana biha khalqahu. That's how that he has tested his creatures. There is the law of demand and supply. We need to have our demands intact. And Allah's supply for our guidance will always continue. So now, look at the ni'mat of Allah. And look at the sabr and patience that Allah has displayed over the history of humanity. We had 124,000 prophets, and for every prophet there was a wasi, a deputy, at least one. For some prophet there were several. And throughout the duration of all the prophets and all the deputies, Allah never did take away his ni'mat of the access to the hujjat. This is ni'mat of Allah. That the people have access to the hujjat of their time. For the during the duration of 124,000 prophets, Allah never took away this ni'mat. During the duration of all the awsiya and deputies of all the prophets, Allah never took away this ni'mat of people having access to the hujjat of their time. During the duration of 11 imams, 11 of the deputies of Rasulullah, Allah did not take away this ni'mat. Till the time of the 12th one arrived, and now enough is enough. That's the end of the limit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the rule has been changed. So he has given chances after chances after chances to the humanity to correct their behaviors and straighten their policy towards the hujjat of Allah. But their humanity never listened to God because of their quote-unquote freedoms. Because we consider ourselves to be free in the Western sense of the word, you know, free from the law of the Creator. Freedom means to be free from the law of the Creator. So now the demand is going to take place when then the supply is going to take place when the demand is sincere. So don't expect a supply unless the demand is now tested, because 124,000 prophet and their deputies, in their case Allah's ni'mat was continuous without taking away, and he never denied the people, the humanity, access to the hujjat of their time till the time of the 12th one arrived. Now let's go to the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam in Ilal al-Shara'ir. narrated by Sheikh Saduq, where Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, "Inna Allaha," please pay attention, "Inna Allaha idha kariha lana jawara qawmin naza'ana min bayni adhurihim." And Allah hates for us to be in the neighborhood of a nation. Allah takes us away from them, in other words. So whenever Allah hates, dislikes us to be in the presence, in the neighborhood of a nation, when Allah dislikes, Allah takes us away. And this is exactly what has happened in the case of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, because now the dislikeness of Allah has reached its limit. He has been disliking that since long. But this is the ni'mat of Allah. This is the sabr from Allah's behalf till the time of the 12th one arrived. And now the policy has changed. So no one has access. When we say the ghaybat is the hijab between the people and the imam, this is not a hijabun maddi. Let's be very clear. It's not a hijabun maddi. There is no physical curtain between the humans and the people. We say the hijab of ghaybat is the hijabun ma'nawi. The hijab-e ma'nawi, that basically the lack of ma'rifat from our behalf is the hijab. All those people who don't have the lack of ma'rifat have no hijab. There is no hijab between, ahle ma'rifat and the imams, imam of their time. So the hijab is not hijab-e maddi, it's a hijab-e ma'nawi, hijab of the jahil and hijab of the jahiliyat. Instead of jahil, we should better use the word jahiliyat, because jahil is related to naqsul ilmi, lack of knowledge, whereas jahiliyat is related to a naqsul amali, that means lack of our practice, lack of our obedience. So jahiliyat is a term that we use for those who know the reality but still don't obey. They are called ashabul jahiliyat. And those are the people who don't know at all. We don't call them people of jahiliyat, we call them jahil. They need to be taught, we need to educate them. But those are the people who already know but are not obeying, not following, not practicing. They are the ones who are basically termed as belonging to jahiliyat. Earlier the prophets of God had this sunnat. Allah always provided access to the prophets, but partially they were taken away from their nations, but never fully taken away from their nations. So we find in the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he preached in his community for a long, long time, and nobody believed except very few people, extremely less number of people. And now in the ayat of Holy Quran, Surah Maryam, verse 48, Allah narrates the call, the statement of Prophet Ibrahim saying, وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي. Keep away from you. As shuma wa anche ghair az khudawand mi khunid kinare mi juyam. That means I'm going to keep away from you and what you worship other than Allah. In other words, what you call other than Allah, then I call my Lord. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam got away from the people, and he migrated from his nation towards Sham, city of area which was called Harran in those days of Shamat. And that's where he encountered another nation who were mushrik, worshipping sun and the moon. And of course he propagated the Tawheed in that nation as well. And Prophet Ibrahim has said, which is narrated in Surah An'am, verse 79, "Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi This is ayat that we recite before we start the prayers. That's the sunnah of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said that statement. So, inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifan wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. I have, basically turned my face towards the one who created the heavens and earth. So, Hanif in the tafsir has been mentioned that Hanif is a person who is walking in the middle of the path, not in the sidelines of the path. If you are walking on a path, but you are walking on the sidelines, in Arabic we call it Janif or Mutajanif. We don't call it Hanif. Hanif in Arabic is called to a person who is walking in the middle of the path. That was the sunnah of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that was the sunnah of Rasulullah, and that is the seerat of all the Salihin. They always walk in the middle of the path. So, because if we walk in the sidelines as Janif on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, we are always vulnerable to fall down into the hellfire because of the fact that, first of all, we are not ma'soom. Second of all, Sirat al-Mustaqim is a straight path falling, walking through the hellfire or over the hellfire. So some of the scholars say through the hellfire, some of the scholars have said in the tafsir that over the hellfire. So whatever be the case, whichever call of the Mufassireen you accept, but basically Sirat al-Mustaqim, if you are walking on the sidelines, you can always fall in the hell, because the moment we get tilted, whatever else is nothing but the hellfire. So Prophet Ibrahim was walking in the middle of the path. Likewise, so he left his nation, but that was basically not the point that the nation was never given access to the Hujjat. What we were discussing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never deprived any nation to have access to their Hujjat. Throughout the history, that was the same. Even in the case of Prophet Yunus, he did his Itmam al-Hujjah for approximately for 30 years, how it's mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that he did his job for 30 years, you know. But nobody believed in him, and he was the only person who was believing in Tawheed, not even his wife. Nobody at all. So, kullama ja'a ummatan rasuluha, whenever a prophet, a messenger, came to a nation, they always denied. So people's routine was the same. Throughout all the prophets, they denied. So Hazrat Yunus is also doing the same policy of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he did his job, people didn't accept. He left his nation. He warned them about the arrival of the Azab, and then he left the nation. So, now in the time of the 12th Imam, Allah wants the people to realize the benefit of the Hujjat. Unless the people realize the benefit of the presence of the Hujjat among them, they don't deserve to get the Hujjat. They don't deserve to get the access to the Hujjat. Now this ghaibat time is going to prolong, but in some of the narrations we find, يُصْلِحُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ. Allah will correct the affairs of Imam alayhi salam in a night, overnightly. So if the people start behaving well, things can be corrected overnightly. No one can fix the time Imam is going to appear after 5 years, after 2 years, after 1 month, after 1 week, after 10 years. No one has been given the right to fix the time. Instead, anybody who tries to fix the time is a confirmed liar, according to the hadith of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam himself. Because he has said, that فَقَدْ وَقَعَتِ الْغَيْبَةُ التَّامَّةِ in the tawqi' al-mubarak that he has sent to his fourth deputy, Naib Khas. He says that certainly the complete ghaibat has started. فَقَدْ وَقَعَتِ الْغَيْبَةُ التَّامَّةِ فَلَا ظُهُورَ إِلَّا بَعْدَ إِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Now there shall be no appearance unless there is a permission from Allah. فَلَا ظُهُورَ إِلَّا بَعْدَ إِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And then also in the Tawqi we find that he says that that كَذِبَ الْوَقَّاتُونَ, anyone who, those of the people who fix the time are lying. So no one has been given the right to fix the time of his arrival. It can be overnightly, it can be after 100 years, it can be whatever time that Allah wishes in His wisdom. The bottom line is that when He appears is not the point that we need to focus on. Because for us, He can be appearing even today. Isn't that right? If we have the ma'rifat. I said already that those who have the ma'rifat, for them there is no hijab. Hijab is not a physical curtain. It's not hijabun maddi. It's the hijab of naqs and lack of ma'rifat. Hijabun ma'navi. So for us, it's an irrelevant question when he's going to appear. None of our business to know when he's going to appear. What is related to us, brothers and sisters, is that did we achieve the ma'rifat? That's the real question that we as mu'mineen in the time of ghaibat should pose to our own selves. That did we achieve the ma'rifat and did we become muntazir and real awareers or not? When Imam is going to appear is irrelevant question. Just like we say, look at the hadith. Let's go to the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam where he says, "Man sarrahu an yakuna min ashab al-qa'im," whoever whom it pleases whomsoever to be one of the companions of the qa'im, falyantazir, he should become a muntazir, he should await, wal ya'mal bil wara, he should abstain from the harams, have wara, that means abstaining from the harams, abstaining from getting involved into this dunya. In other words, of course, wara is the whole concept of Islam that we discussed when we were talking about the Islamic moral concepts a while ago among all of you. Wa mahasin al akhlaq, and that means liya'mal mahasin al akhlaq, and he should follow the beautiful Islamic moral things, moral attributes. In other words, wa huwa muntazirun fa in mata wa qama al qa'im ba'dahu. Now this guy, when he is a muntazir and awaiting for the Imam, he passes away and then Imam does his uprising after his death, kana lahu min al ajr misla ajri man adrakahu, he's going to get the reward just like the person who found the Imam, just like the person who is in the time, the lifetime of the Imam, he survived till the Imam appeared. That guy, the amount of reward he's going to get because he now find the Imam and he now is serving the Imam, he is with the Imam, the same ajr and reward you are going to get even if you die ahead of his appearance because you were muntazir. So you're not losing anything. You didn't miss out on anything. And then Imam says, فَجِدُّ وَانْتَظِرُ. So work hard. جِدُّ, be serious. وَانْتَظِرُ, await. That means await for the Imam. Then become muntazir, in other words. Be muntazir. Or you know, continue to await. Hani an nakum ayyatuha al-isabatul marhuma. May this be good and mubarak for you, O the blessed group. So the ummah of Rasulullah who are following the footsteps of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam are the al-isabatul marhuma, the blessed group. That means the group upon whom Allah has provided His rahmat and mercy. And also, this is narrated from Mufazzal ibn Umar rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the greatest companions of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, says that ذَكَرْنَا الْقَائِمْ وَمَنْ مَاتَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِنَا يَنْتَظِرْهُ. We talked to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about Imam Al-Qa'im alayhi salam, and we discussed the point that if one of the Ashab who is muntazir and waiting for Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam passes away, what is going to happen? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, قَالَ لَنَا أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السلام. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to us, Mufazzal ibn Umar is one of the greatest and muwathaqeen of the Ashab. And this is narrated in Kitab al-Ghaybah. The Imam Sadiq said, The إذا قام, when Imam uprises, أتى المؤمن في قبره. Imam comes to the grave of the mu'min. فيقال له, it will be said to that mu'min, يا هذا, O you, إنه قد ظهر صاحبك. That means your Imam, the Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Salam, has appeared. فإن شئت أن تلحق به فالحق. If you want to join the Imam, join him. وَإِن شِئْتَ أَن تُقِيمَ فِي كَرَامَةِ رَبِّكَ فَأَقِمْ. And if you wish to continue being in the karamat of your Lord, if you want to stay in the karamat of your Lord, stay. So Imam is going to come to the is going to come after his appearance to the grave of the mu'min who was awaiting for the Imam in his life. Imam is going to come and address the mu'min, and it will be said to the mu'min, if you want to join, join. He'll be given the option. If you don't want to join, you want to stay in the qabr, because whether he joins or whether he stays, the reward is the same. Isn't that right? He already got the reward of being muntazir. He is shaheed. Every person who is the muntazir of Imam is already shaheed fi sabilillah. So whether he joins the Imam, he's going to become shaheed. He will live a life and he will be shaheed alongside with the Imam. Or he stays in the qabr, he gets the same reward because his niyat was the same. And also the Prophet has said, أَيُّهَ النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاللَّهِ مَا خَلَقَ الْعِبَادِ. Certainly Allah, I swear to God, hasn't created His servants إِلَّا لَيَعْرِفُوهُ, except for that they can have His ma'rifat. فَإِذَا عَرَفُوهُ عَبَدُوهُ. When they have the ma'rifat, they will be worshipping Allah. فَإِذَا عَبَدُوهُ اِسْتَغْنَوْا بِعِبَادَتِهِ عَنْ عِبَادَتِ مَنْ سِوَاهُ. They will become mustaghni. They won't stand in need of worshipping anyone other than Allah. This is worship of dunya. Isn't that right? What some people are, for the sake of protecting their interests of this dunya, they are trying to avoid their duties towards the wali of their time. This is worshipping our desires and worshipping dunya. Worshipping our business, worshipping money. Isn't that right? This is nothing but ibadat of dunya that some people are doing. For the sake of protecting their worldly interests, they are not ready to support the wali. And فَقَالَ لَهُ, then somebody said to Rasulullah, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي, may my mother and father be sacrificed on you, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, مَا مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ. This has been narrated by one of the imams that the Prophet said like this. So, what is the meaning of the ma'rifat of Allah? And that's where the Imam said, ma'rifatu ahli kulli zamanin imamahu, imamahum alladhi yajibu alayhim ta'atuhu. That means ma'rifat of people of each time towards their Imam whose obedience is wajib on them. So, if you happen to be living in whatever Imam's time, obeying the Imam of your time is going to provide you the ma'rifat of that Imam, which is the ma'rifat of Allah. So ma'rifat is about practical obedience. If you want to know, do you have the ma'rifat? The way we can gauge our ma'rifat is to look, how much did I obey? As simple as that. How much did I obey? If I happen to obey the Imam of my time, all the obediences. There are some people who always interpret the concept of taqwa in the umurun infiradiyya, personal obligations. Praying and fasting, although prayers and fasting is also not at all personal in Islam, but that's what some people think it's personal. In the real sense, even prayers is not a personal ibadat in Islam. It has everything to do with the Islamic Ummah. But some people think it's personal. So as soon as you talk about taqwa, they think, you know, that we are doing some of a set of personal ibadat. So we are also not fasiq or fajir. We are muttaqi and salih because we are praying and fasting, reading Quran and stuff. Forgetting the fact that taqwa is a concept which includes all the duties, not just the personal obligation, but more importantly, the social and political obligations towards the wali of the time. And Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has said, "Man mata minkum ala firashihi." Any one of you, in other words, who dies on his bed, وَهُوَ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ حَقِّ رَبِّهِ, and he has the ma'rifat of the haqq of his Lord, وَحَقِّ رَسُولِهِ, and the haqq of his messenger, وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ, and the haqq of and the Ahlul Bayt, mata shaheedan. This guy who's dying on his bed, he dies as a shaheed. Wa waqa'a ajruhu ala Allah. His ajr and reward is on Allah. Wa stawjiba sawaba ma nawa min salihi amalihi. And he became deserving of to get the sawab of all what he intended. Whatever niyat you had, if you died today, and you had the niyat in your mind, if Imam Mahdi alayhi salam had appeared, I would have supported him. I would go and I will do whatever it takes to support the Imam of my time, come what may. I will go any limits. I'll go out of the way to support the Imam of my time and do as commanded by the Imam. Regardless of my material interests of this life of dunya, regardless of any temporary things that can bog down my advancement and support of the Imam. If you have the niyat today and you die with this niyat, then all that is going to be done, all that would have been done by you, you are going to get the reward of all that. Istawjaba sawaba ma nawa. This guy became deserving to get the reward what he intended, min salihi amalihi, from the good deed. Waqamatin niyatu maqama aslatihi li sayfihi. So all the jihad, in other words, you would do with the Imam with your sword, you're going to get the reward of all that jihad even today, if you died today. So you're not missing out on anything as long as you are muntazir and have the ma'rifat. So what is our concern as a mu'min believing in the walayat of the Imam is not when he is going to appear. This is not our concern. What is our concern is to strive and to make everything possible to make ourselves muntazir and arif, having his ma'rifat, so that whether we find him, whether we find the time of his zuhur, or we don't happen to find the time of his zuhur, we are going to get the same reward. We are going to get the same status in the eyes of Allah, just as if we found the time of his zuhur. So it's an irrelevant point. I go to some of the centers and I find people are, reading ziyarat and very much insisting, saying, ajjil ala zuhurik, ajjil ala zuhurik, as if they are trying to insist on the Imam. Sometimes I get the feeling that they are trying to insist on the Imam. Why don't you appear? So much has happened already. Why don't you appear? Do we think Imam is, na'udhu billah, ignoring the situation? Is that what we think? Or he's like, na'udhu billah min dhalik, he's behaving like a baby or a stubborn person, na'udhu billah. And all those things are happening, but he still is not listening to me and you and all the people who are all praying for his appearance, but he doesn't heed to any of those warnings and invitations. And why the tone sounds like we are insisting on the Imam? Well, instead of insisting on him, let us insist on ourselves to correct ourselves. The day we correct ourselves, we are muntazir, and now we are successful. The day we become muntazir, the same moment we become successful. The same moment the curtain is removed between me and the Imam. There is no hijab. Why insisting on him? He didn't do anything wrong. He has nothing to improve. He's already perfect. He has nothing to improve, nothing to do. Why to insist on him? We have everything to improve. Isn't that right?
So this is going to happen when our claim of muhabbat is true. This is going to happen when our claim of muhabbat towards the Imam is true. Now, how can the claim of muhabbat be judged? Okay, the Prophet says that sidqul muhabba fi salasatin. That means truthfulness of muhabbat is in three. I mean, three things are the criteria to judge whether a person sincerely, properly, accurately claims that he loves or not. How to judge? Through three factors. First, yakhtaru, please pay attention, it's a very important point. Yakhtaru kalama habibihi ala kalami ghayrihi. He chooses the kalam, the statement of his beloved over the kalam of anyone else. I don't care what the rest of the people say. I care what my beloved says. This is the first sign that my love towards my beloved is true and not fake. If I choose what my beloved says over what anybody else may say. Sign number one. Sign number two, وَيَخْتَارُ مُجَالَسَةَ حَبِيبِهِ عَلَى مُجَالَسَةِ غَيْرِهِ. He will choose to hang around, to sit along with his beloved over hanging around with other people. Because some people, for them, it's a big deal if they get photographed with such and such official and put it in their living room for the rest of their life, showing to their grandchildren, hey guys, see, I got photographed in such and such office with such and such big shot. And they feel proud over that, isn't that right? And look at what the Prophet says about the sign of your true love. That yakhtaru mujalasata habibihi. He chooses to hang around with his beloved over hanging around with anyone else. So we need to readjust our criteria of love first before we can claim that our love is sincere. You know, one of my teachers of the house was saying that somebody said to a bad character woman that you are like this and this and this. And she replied back, well, I am the way you described. But are you the way you claim yourself to be? How do you claim for yourself? Are you really the way you claim? We should claim what we are, and whatever we are not, we should be very clean and clear and pure in our claims, so that the zahir and batin is the same, you know, and that's the real sign of tawbah. An yakuna al batinu ka zahir wa ahsan. The sign of real tawbah is that the batin of a person becomes similar to his zahir, that means his hidden becomes similar to his apparent, or even better than his apparent. So some people, their batin is better than their zahir. They are the ones who are mahbub of Allah in a better sense. So the second sign of the sidq of muhabbat, the truthfulness in our love, is that يَخْتَارُ مُجَالَسَةَ حَبِيبِهِ عَلَى مُجَالَسَةِ غَيْرِهِ. And then the Prophet said, the third sign that he mentioned, وَيَخْتَارُ رِضَى حَبِيبِهِ عَلَى رِضَى غَيْرِهِ. He chooses the pleasure of his beloved over the pleasure of anyone else. So whom are we seeking to please? Are we seeking to please the kufr and zulm and nifaq? Because there are some people who are trying to please the kufr and shirk and nifaq, because they think they are very open-minded and they are very intellectual, so they can do things which Imam Khomeini could not, because he was a radical in their eyes, na'udhubillah. So he did wrong, na'udhubillah. So we can do better. And that's how some people are trying to do. So they are trying to please the kufr and shirk and nifaq at the cost of compromising over their values. And they think they are very smart. So, because they are choosing the pleasure of anyone other than the mahbub, you know, over the pleasure of the mahbub himself. And this is never going to happen. So we find before I end my speech, it is important to remember that when the Holy Prophet says, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا.
This is a hadith which is mutawatir. It is the best category of hadith.
Among all those, you know, approximately 33 category of hadith that we have in ilm al-hadith. So hadith al-mutawatir narrated from both sources, from the Sunnis and the Shias. Yamla'ul arva, Imam Mahdi al-Islam is going to fill up the earth with adl and qist, kama muli'at, the way it will be filled up with zulm and jawr. Now, zulm is defined as at-ta'addi ala haqq al-akhareen. That means if you do tajawuz bi haqq digaran. That means violating the rights of others. If you happen to violate the right of someone else and usurp their haqq and take it for yourself, this is in Arabic, we call it zulm. So zulm is defined as violating the right of any other person, usurping his haqq and right and taking it for yourself. This is called zulm. Whereas the word jawr in Arabic, we don't have mutaradifat in Arabic, we don't have synonyms. Although apparently we call them as zulm and jawr are synonym, but they are not. There is no mutaradif in Arabic. All of them, all of those words have, if you go into the details, you find there are differences in the meanings of those words. So jawr means that you don't give the rights to the people as much as they deserve. Instead, you do tab'eed. That means you may partially give the right to a person, but partially take his right, and instead of taking it yourself, you give it to somebody else. So this is the meaning of jawr. Jawr means not fulfilling, not taking care of the hukuk of the people. So you are usurping the hukuk of the people in the case of jawr, but then you're not taking away the whole thing. Maybe you give them partially, and partially you take the haqq and give it to somebody else who doesn't deserve it, instead of taking it for yourself. This is called tab'eev. So a partisan behavior, you can may call it a partisan behavior, that you basically give the rights of others to people of your own party, those who support you, instead of giving it to the one who deserves it. So you didn't take it yourself, like zulm, but you gave it to somebody else. This is called jawr. Now, they are opposites to the word zulm and jawr, both. Now, the opposite of zulm is qist. And the opposite of adl is jawr. The opposite of jawr is adl. So now, let's get back to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Where he says, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا. That means Imam Mahdi al-Islam is going to fill up the earth with qist and adl. Qist is the opposite of zulm. That means zulm is doing violation towards the haqq of others and taking it for yourself. Taking their rights, taking their haqq, and you take it for yourself and you use it. So he's not going to allow this. Instead, he's going to fill up the earth with qist. So nothing would belong to him which doesn't belong to him. Everything that everybody deserves, he's going to get. And he's not going to get anybody's haqq for himself. This is the highest level of piety and taqwa in the social sense of the word taqwa, in the political sense, not just in the infiradi sense, like some people always interpret taqwa in the infiradi and personal sense. And then jawr is يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا. Kama muli'at, the way he's going to fill up the earth with qist and adl, the way it will be filled up with zulm and jawr. So fill up the earth with qist and adl. And adl is opposite of jawr. That means the partisan behavior in the distribution of the rights of the people will be eliminated in the time of the Imam. So no person is going to be given more than what he deserves just because he supports you. Or he supports the Imam. Or he supports whatever. The distribution of the rights, it doesn't depend on your your political views. The distribution of the rights are not partisan. They will be basically everybody is going to get what belongs to him. Now, the second point before we finish, which is very important about this hadith to remember, because when we talk about kama muli'at zulman wa jawra, the way the earth will be filled up with zulm and jawr, here is the tangent, here is the deviation that started from Anjumani Hujjatiya in Iran. And there are some, of course, there is a banned group which was banned by Imam Rahmatullah Alayh, but there are still some, according to some authentic reports in Isfahan, who belong to their anjuman, then doing their activities hiddenly. So now here is their deviation of Anjumani Hujjatiya, because these guys used to believe and proclaim that the nashr of fasad and zulm, the expansion of fasad and zulm on the planet is good to happen. Let it happen, in other words, which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, their opinion. Let the fasad and zulm continue to happen. So it's okay if it continues. It's okay if it survives. It's okay if it expands. Because the more the fasad and zulm expands, the sooner the Imam would come. Now, the point to remember is that for the sake of the appearance, for the sake of hastening the appearance of the Imam, zuhur of fasad and the nashr of fasad is not the only thing which is going to happen. What is important is the agahi and ma'rifat. Unless and until you make the people aware and make them have their ma'rifat, Imam is not going to appear. So what they are missing out is that they are just taking one aspect of the whole discussion and ignoring the rest. So one aspect was zuhur of fasad, and the other aspect of that, the agahi and ma'rifat, will also expand. And that's how Imam would appear. So who's going to spread the agahi and ma'rifat among the people? If you are allowing it and you are sakit and idle, you know, you're doing nothing against the expansion of zulm and fasad, and you stay idle and let it go, that means you are not playing any role in spreading the ma'rifat among the people. So you are half the way, you don't understand the whole concept. You are basically part of the problem. Because if you let the fasad expand, you are part of the problem. You are trying to say that Imam should come and fight you as well, because he is going to fight every zulm and jawr, isn't that right? In order to install every adl and qist. You cannot install adl and qist without fighting zulm and jawr. And when you let it go, that means that you want Imam to fight against you as well, because you won't let it go. You are okay with it. Without doing any role in spreading the ma'rifat, which is the prerequisite for the arrival of the Imam, is the ma'rifat. And also, it proves that for the sake of removal of fasad, the leader is not enough. Because we do have the leader already. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the leader, isn't that right? The availability and tawajudul imam, availability of the leader, is not the only condition for establishment of justice. If that was the, because some people say it all depends on the leadership. He's supposed to do this and this and this and this and this. You are still missing out. You don't understand. It doesn't depend entirely on the leadership, because we do have the leadership of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Isn't that right? Imam is alive, you know. أَمَّا وَجْهُ الْإِنْتِفَاعِ بِي فِي غَيْبَتِي فَكَ الْإِنْتِفَاعِ بِالشَّمْسِ إِذَا غَيَّبَتْهُ السَّحَابِ. The way people are going to benefit from me is less like we benefit from the sun when some clouds basically come in front of the sun. Still the sunshine reaches the people and they are benefiting from the heat of the sun. Isn't it right? The same way, Imam, maybe there is a hijab of our dalalat and gumrahi and jahil and jahiliyat in front of me and the Imam, but Imam is still alive and there. He's not dead, he's there.
So the wujud of a ma'soom is not enough for establishing adl. Because some people say, the leader has to do this and this and this and this. You don't understand. That's not the only thing. Leader is still there. Then why didn't the adl government happen? Because the people need to be educated. Let's suppose tomorrow Allah does a miracle and there is an Islamic Republic on, just like that of Walayatul Faqih style in Iraq. Let's imagine for a moment. You think that type of government can survive in Iraq, in today's Iraq, for even a 1 week? Let's suppose, even if there is a leadership who can establish, you think it can survive for 1 week? Is it all about the leadership? No, it's not all about the leadership. Leadership is very, very, very important, yes. But it's not all about the leadership. The people need to have the political awareness to protect the leader, protect the government, and to stand behind the leader. Unless and until the prerequisites are found, it's not just about the leader. Leader is there, Imam Mahdi al-Islam is there. Why is not the hukumat of adl in the whole world? Because the people are not ready. So it's not all about the leadership. Let's not play a blame game. Because some people start playing the blame game.
So it is very important to remember that we need to make ourselves on the path of ma'rifat and spread the ma'rifat to the others. So people start doing their social and political obligations towards the wali of their time. And that starts with the deputy. That's how we prepare ourselves for the imam. Whatever we do towards the deputy is what we are doing towards his manubun anhu, the imam alayhi salatu wassalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to become the muntazir of the imam of our time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to spread the nur of ma'rifat to the rest of the mu'mineen and the rest of the people around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to stand and to support the imam of our time today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to make our children, our young generation such that they are on the track of the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So tomorrow when our imam appears, our children are in the first rank of his supporters. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin wa akhdhul al-kuffar wal munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasara ad-din wa akhdhul man khadhala al-muslimin. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.